Moncrief on News Talk.
The car sales market changes all the time, and one of those changes involves convertible cars. Sales of convertibles have apparently slumped over the last two decades. Is it because of the weather? Are men not having midlife crises anymore? Dave Humphreys from CompleteCar.ie is here to explain. Afternoon, Dave.
Afternoon.
Now, you're going to contradict me because you were just saying before we came on air that they've actually gone up this year.
Well, registrations of convertibles in Ireland have increased a heady 46% this year over last year.
Okay.
But it's 110 vehicles. So okay. The joy of percentages, you can make something sound very good.
Yeah. But the overall downward trend, what's the main reason for that?
The main reason is that there are fewer convertibles available these days. So a lot of manufacturers are just going, we're not going to make that convertible model anymore because they sell in fewer and fewer numbers. And it gets to a point where it's really not worth their while making a convertible anymore. So they'll just axe it in favor of a more profitable model that they can sell more of. So the choice out there is kind of declining as well. So there's just not that many to actually choose from. Now, there's a few stalwarts of manufacturers that will always have a convertible, but usually then that's at the more higher end, the more premium luxury end of the market.
Yeah. Now, but there must be an underlying reason why the demand has decreased and therefore has led to car manufacturers to make fewer of them.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of things, really. It's practicality, for one. People generally want more practical cars. And typically, convertibles are two-door cars. They're usually on the smaller side as well. So, they might have rear seats, but a lot of the time, they are literally token seats.
You know,
it's enough to throw your bag on, but my God, you wouldn't want to have anyone trying to sit back there. So that's one of the reasons why they can be more expensive to buy in the first place. And also, over time as they get on, there's more moving parts. There's more complexity with roof mechanisms and they can go wrong. And it is just, as you said at the start, it's just a shift in trends. You know, these things come in and go out of fashion like everything else. It's like the way nowadays SUVs and crossovers are the thing that everybody wants.
Ah, right. So they've effectively been replaced by SUVs and the like. And
yeah,
I suppose SUVs, I'm loath to say they're more practical, but probably compared to a convertible, they are.
Compared to a convertible, they are. But I would also say there's a lot of SUVs that aren't as practical as an estate car, for example. But estate cars aren't as popular because it's SUVs now are the trendy thing and that's what people want.
Yeah.
There are some convertible SUVs, if you want to get really niche about this. famously, it's more of a cult car now among car enthusiasts and journalists like myself. But there was a Nissan Murano Cross Cabriolet, which was a Nissan Murano. It was kind of like a slightly bigger than a Nissan Qashqai, which we would know here. It was sold in the US and some other markets. It never made it here. And it was kind of so objectively terrible, it was great. Land Rover, Range Rover made a convertible Evoque. So the Evoque is a very popular model and they made a convertible version and it kind of flopped. I think there was a handful sold here and that's it.
Oh, really?
So it doesn't always, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
So have there been instances in recent years of people bringing out a new sort of convertible and it bombing?
Not so much bombing. I think there's a lot of kind of newer cars that come out. If they offer a convertible version, generally it's already a niche model and they're offering that. So like Lexus, at their premium end, their top two-door coupe is an LC. They made an LC convertible, both sold in very small numbers, but to a certain audience, they were kind of sought after. But interestingly, I think they stopped the convertible before the coupe.
Yeah.
So, they've always been a niche thing. And I think now there are a little bit more niche, but there's still, I mentioned there's some stalwarts like the Mazda MX-5. It's the most successful convertible in the world. And you've got new cars like MG, which is now a Chinese-owned electric car manufacturer. They have introduced the Cyberster, which is a bit of a terrible name, but it's a two-seat convertible electric car as well.
Oh, okay. But I suppose you'd have a convertible would be a second car, or if you were really well off a third car. Yeah, it's your fun car. Bringing the kids to school kind of thing.
Yeah, for enthusiasts, you know, they might just like to have, like you said, it might be a weekend car, or, you know, some people do them, use them every day and they love them. You know, like they're not always a luxury. They could be, for some people, they don't have kids and don't need to do school runs. It's perfectly good for them. It's all the car they need. And it's fun to drive at the weekend, but it can still do all the normal stuff during the day.
And you have a convertible.
I have a Citroen 2CV, 65-year-old 2CV.
Wow.
And the whole sort of centre of the roof retracts. So it's like the roof section is made of a fabric material. And it's lovely on a nice day, the odd one that we get. But I would be old school in that if it's dry and it's relatively warm, just get the roof down anyway.
Yeah. Sell us the benefits of this, because it just sounds like you're in a 65-year-old car, which I assume is fairly rattly, and the wind is blowing, even on the nicest day. And are you there kind of going, hey, everybody having a good time? And they're going, I can't hear you.
You never go. The thing is, it doesn't have a lot of power. So in actual fact, the wind is normally faster than the car on some days. But it's just kind of getting out there. It's more of an experience. You know, like, we're so used to being inside cars, you can barely hear anything that's going on outside. It's kind of a bit of a throwback to how it used to be. And there's a certain charm to that.
Yeah. But would you drive that, say, on motorways? Or
I generally don't go on motorways. It's got 12 horsepower. And so it's not the most enjoyable experience on the motorway.
Yeah.
But it's exactly the sort of car that I'll happily take the long way to get there and enjoy it and arrive with a smile on my face. Just leaving a half hour earlier.
Somebody wants to know, how are you forgetting the Jeep Wrangler, the most successful SUV convertible? You could take the doors and the roof off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You could hose out the whole inside, but it's a proper...
That's the thing that I was like, if you had a convertible car and it starts raining, don't you destroy it then?
No, I mean, the modern day convertible cars, you know, the electrics and stuff are like, you'll get okay. Now, look, don't leave it sat outside with the roof down and, you know, you're suddenly going to have a paddling pool outside. But they're okay for a bit of a shower and stuff is okay. But most of the time, they've got an electric roof that will come up at speed. So you can be driving at 50 k's an hour and the roof can still actually go up or down. So you don't have to pull over and kind of do it. Yeah, I mean, some still, like the MX-5 is still a manual roof, but it is literally 2 seconds to pull it up and clip it in. So it's not a faff. There are some other, you know, there was a Citroen made a car called a C3 Plurial, which had an enormously complex roof convertible mechanism that was just became like an absolute bane of owners to do, you know. It was just, there was all these moving parts and things I had to take in and clip out, and it was a nightmare. So it's not always the best thing in the world.
Someone says the Mazda MX-5 is great fun and very popular. There are many convertibles in the UK and obviously around the Mediterranean. Someone else says, we rented a convertible on holiday. I couldn't get over how cold and windy it was. It also meant that we got badly sunburned, so I won't be doing it again.
Yes, well, you'll get badly sunburned sitting outside a bar as well all day. So
that's true. If that's only two choices. So, Dave, will it come back, do you think?
I think there will always be a part of it. You know, like, you know, the very word cabriolet comes right from the very start when there was, you know, these kind of two-wheeled carriages that were, you know, that people used to rattle around in. And the very first cars were all open top anyway. So we've always had open top motoring. I think it will kind of, I don't think it's ever going to come back in any sort of massively popular segments. You know, it's 0.1% of registrations in Ireland. It's about 1-2% of global sales. I don't really think it's ever going to change beyond that. But I think it's nice that they, you know, there are some manufacturers that are still doing this and still keeping them. And it's just a little bit different. It's absolutely not for everybody. But for those that want it, it's great that there's still a little bit of choice out there.
Is there, though, a little bit of an attitude towards them? I mean, I don't mean like your car, Dave, because that's, you look at that and you go, that's a classic car. Yeah. And that, but just today, I saw, I don't know what kind of car it was, but it was a very modern car. They were booming out music to, you know, guys, you know, driving along, delighted with themselves. And my first instinct was to think a word that rhymes with anchor. and a lot of people might feel that way.
You know, if they're happy and not doing any harm to anyone else, okay, maybe their choice of music might be, they could turn it down a bit.
But it was a bit of, look at us, we've got a fancy car.
Yeah.
Now, but it might be a kind of, but going back to the point you were making about the SUVs and these bigger cars, somebody says, I work in the car industry. There's been a 40% increase in bodywork, scrapes, etc., because cars are too big. 60% of that damage is done in car parks.
Yeah, well, cars, I've spoken about this numerous times in the past, cars are getting bigger and bigger all the time. And even like fitting into a standard size car parking space now, you've almost no room on either side. It just takes up the full width between the white lines. So I'm not surprised to hear that there's more scuffs and scrapes, even with all the cameras and bing bongs and sensors and all that kind of stuff. It's still, people will get into scrapes and all that. So yeah, it is tricky. You know, the joy about convertibles is that if you've got the roof down, you've got amazing sight line all around you, so you can see absolutely everything. Whereas now modern cars, you know, the big B pillars and C pillars, and there's a lot of blind spots. So it's actually, you can see these huge cars, but actually when you get into them, there's not a lot to see out of, especially at the back of them. So you're more reliant on cameras and all these sort of sensors. If you get into an old car, it's almost kind of sobering at how much you can see, because you suddenly realise there's not a lot of structure around here.
You can drive a convertible at 50 kilometres an hour in the rain and not get wet. I'm speaking from experience. I have three.
If you get the speed right and it's the right sort of design, it will, the air flow over the car will actually keep you dry. So yeah, you can do it. But unfortunately, you're probably going to end up at a red light fairly soon and then, you know.
The Ford Mustang convertible is the car to have while on holidays in Florida. You should have mentioned that. Well, it has been mentioned now. So congratulations.
Yeah, there are certain, that's one of those cars that I think, you know, if you were driving like in Florida or doing the Pacific Coast Highway or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to do it. And I don't care how cliched people think it is. It's like, you have to rent a Mustang and do it in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
So yeah, that listener is absolutely right.
Yeah. And if someone was thinking to get a car like yours or a classic convertible, are they expensive? Are they very expensive to kind of get roadworthy and all that stuff?
They're not really any more expensive. Some people with newer cars, they may find that the insurance can be a little bit more expensive to insure a convertible because, in theory, it's slightly easier to break into a convertible, for example. The repair costs on modern convertibles, especially ones that have metal folding roofs, can be kind of prohibitive as well. Mm-hmm. So it can be quite expensive if they go wrong. That's just the sort of thing that people need to be aware of before they jump in. But generally, once you get it, if it's working fine, you're not really going to experience any difference other than maybe on a nice day being able to put the roof down and enjoy it once you've got your sunscreen on.
I leased a Black Edition Audi TTS back in the UK in 2011. It was fabulous. I was selling medical devices, and even though two seats and a small boot, it worked for me. Then I moved through marriage to Ireland and brought it with me, but it was a target. It got broken into three times. I didn't renew the lease, and VRT was the same value as the car after 2 years. Daft. Great car, and if I win the cash machine, then I'll get another. And somebody else says, my son gave me a convertible. Nice son. And I said to him that I loved the sound of it. Turns out it needed a new exhaust. So I'd say maybe your neighbours didn't like the sound of it. Dave, lovely to see you again. Thanks a million for coming in to us. Dave Humphreys, the journalist from completecar.ie.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.